This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I got a very strange tweet before the show. I'm not really sure what to make of it. I'll share it with you this hour and you can maybe interpret it for me, guys. It definitely is a candidate for Facepalm Friday, so I'll have to save it. Maybe I'll just send it to one of you in a direct message and you can save it to bring it back later this week. My mom was asking me about when the basketball games start, and I said to her Tuesday. Oh, okay. Well, then she said something about, what were you talking about? Something that I needed to get done this week. Well, why don't you do it Wednesday? Or what about Thursday? No, Mom. There is basketball from now until eternity. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday all day, late into the night. Friday all day, late into the night. Saturday all day, late into the night. And Sunday, right back here to work again. So if you don't like college basketball, this is a tough time of the year for you. Though I guess you have the last, 12, 13 games of the NBA regular season. NHL is even quicker to wrap up its regular season. And even as I go through some of the craziness of spring, the two things that I don't mention every time, only because they're starting as opposed to ending, but Major League Baseball is inside of 2 weeks away from opening day. What? And the Masters. If I'm not mistaken, that's the second weekend in April, meaning it's the weekend after the Final Four. I'm pretty sure I have those dates right. And I know that the Golf World just finished up the Players' Championship, which honestly, I'm not sure how much of a success it was. Rory McIlroy had a late run on Sunday in the final round to come back and to win that tournament. Tiger, in case you're wondering, finished 30th. He was 10 strokes back. He didn't play poorly, but he wasn't on the leaderboard. However, it was odd because it was so quiet around what is generally termed the fifth major of the season, turned into the first major. It changed dates this year, and it leapfrogged the Masters. Honestly, I feel like there are a lot of people out there, marginal golf fans to be sure. I'm not talking about you diehards. But many of us don't start paying attention to golf until we get to the Masters. Yeah, so here it goes. All right, I'm gonna take you fast forward ahead to the weekend of the Final Four. Also happens to be my birthday weekend, but that is really becoming, forget secondary, it's like tertiary and all the things that are going on in sports. So you've got the Final Four, the national semifinals from Minneapolis on Saturday, April 6th. The championship is Monday, April 8th. I've already told you the puck drops in the Stanley Cup playoffs Wednesday, April 10th. The Masters starts Thursday, April 11th. The NBA playoffs start Friday, April 12th. Saturday, April 13th. And the Masters ends on Sunday, April 14th. Oh, dear God. We might not survive that week. somebody pointed out to me on social media and actually wanted to know why. I don't have an answer for this. But a lot of times, in fact, many years back, you can remember the first few rounds of the NCAA tournament being the same time as St. Patrick's Day. So for whatever reason, the tournament is a week later this year. It's actually ending up it's the first full weekend in April, but a lot of times it's a week earlier on the schedule. In fact, it's been that way for years. And so it's crunched. We're all crunched together. No one's going to remember my birthday. Actually, this is kind of depressing. I always spend my birthday with my family in the D.C. area, and my younger niece, whose birthday is the day before mine, don't ask me why, I didn't ask her if it was on purpose or she just forgot the fact that we normally spend our birthdays together. As long as I can remember, we've been spending our birthdays together. Oh no, she scheduled a college visit. So I'll just be hanging out with myself and my television on my birthday. That'll be super awesome. It's fine. There's so much going on. The week will fly by. But yes, she just sent me a text that said, oh, I scheduled my visit to Virginia Tech, which is where she's going to school, on Sunday, April 7th. She didn't mention, oh, it's actually your birthday too. I'm not sure if she forgot. Again, I didn't have the heart to ask, hey, did you forget? Or do you know what else is happening on that day? 2 years ago, my older niece did, in fact, forget my birthday. and all of a sudden, my phone started ringing, and I know that everybody else in the family told her. It was like 9 o'clock at night, and I hadn't heard from her. And so she must have gotten multiple texts and calls from other family members to remind her. So this may be the year I get old and forgotten, but that's all right, because there's lots of sports going on. Oh, that's so pathetic. I'm going to find something to do. My birthday has nothing to do with sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And we're asking you, what's the method to your March Madness? A lot of you are weighing in on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Some of you even have given me a list. So you've actually 1, 2, 3, 4'd it. And then some of you are now weighing in on Facebook as well. And if you haven't joined the After Hours Bracket Challenge, well, what are you waiting for? It's on both our Twitter and our Facebook pages pinned to the top of each of our sites. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. All right, pivot. We're pivoting. Pivot to football, because there's always football. Blake Bortles has a job. He's found work. I'm so happy for him. If you're Blake Bortles, and remember, he lost his starting job last year for a time. If you're Bortles, though, and you trade Jacksonville for Los Angeles, you trade Jacksonville and a team that went through all kinds of turmoil in the locker room, infighting, just an abysmal year. Their encore to an appearance in the AFC Championship was crap. That's a perfect way to describe it. So he gets released after they sign Nick Foles, of course. But he lands on his feet like a cat with the Rams, who just went to the Super Bowl. I would say that's a pretty nice trade. Not that he was going to stay in Jacksonville as the backup to Nick Foles. But if you're going to be a backup, and there aren't that many starting jobs available anymore. In fact, I'm trying to think of any starting job in the NFL that's available now. They've all been filled. Well, we don't technically know who the starter is going to be in Washington. But it's going to be, we think, one of the guys they have on their roster. Either Case Keenum or Colt McCoy. Unless they go out and they do something else drastic. But unlike last year, where there are all these teams that were looking for quarterbacks, yes, there are a couple high-profile QBs available in the draft, but let's be honest, Arizona already has a quarterback, and they haven't moved him yet. And so Josh Rosen's still the starter in Arizona, de facto. He will likely become available if they draft Kyler Murray, but we don't know that yet. And Dwayne Haskins, now, he could end up as a starter wherever he gets drafted. But if you look around, maybe Miami? Miami's a team that needs a quarterback, even though they did just sign Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't know. I actually don't know if Fitzpatrick will be their starter come opening day. That's a long time from now. But there are some teams that are interested in drafting QBs. If they can find one, or if they can get their hands on one, ahem, Giants. But I don't know that either one of the guys, other than the Arizona situation, either one of those guys ends up being the starter in year one. Unless, again, the caveat is if Kyler Murray gets drafted in Arizona, they're likely to start him right away. Otherwise, it's kind of quiet around the QBs in the NFL. We had some movement, a couple trades. And then Nick Foles. It's been more drama around the wide receivers. So with fewer jobs available, we've seen backups switching uniforms. And Bortles now goes from the Jaguars to a backup with Jared Goff. The Rams put out a very nice spread on social media. I mean, they celebrated him like he's Tim Tebow going to the Jets where he had his own press conference, remember? It's a nice picture. Welcome to Los Angeles, Blake. The Rams and Blake Bortles have agreed to terms on a one-year deal. Hey, whatevs. If you can get paid to be a backup quarterback in the NFL, it's not a bad gig. And he is an upgrade from what they had, which was Sean Mannion, now an unrestricted free agent. And he was the backup the last four seasons with the Rams, so he bridged the Jeff Fisher, Sean McVay era, as did Jared Goff, but Mannion, of course, is not supposed to be their starter. The trade-off is not bad. He retains the nice weather, maybe less humid in Los Angeles, for sure. And let's hope that Jared Goff remains healthy all season long. But for Bortles, it's a chance to be a guy who is a veteran, can provide some experience, some wisdom to a younger Jared Goff. Not that much younger, but adversity generally breeds character if you survive it. It either kills you or it makes you stronger, right? So Bortles can take all of that with him and can learn a new offense with McVay and McVay's minions, the McVay army, the McVay coaching tree. Jokes for days. If he can do that, maybe he ends up sticking there. Either way, it's probably a relief for him to get out of Jacksonville, as much as that was a starting job. And he did complete more than 60% of his passes last year. But 13 touchdowns in 13 games. It's not a good ratio at all. So I'm happy for him because I just asked you this question last week. Will Blake Bortles find a job? Indeed, he did. We should all be so blessed to work as a backup quarterback in the NFL. It's a pretty good gig, right? You don't take the pounding on your body. You get to hold a clipboard. You get to be part of all the meetings. You get to play football for a living. Although, if he does have the drive to still start, which you would believe that he does, most of these guys, of course, would love to start. Not the older ones. Michael Vick, he was happy when he got older just to stand there and make money. He was perfectly happy with that. So maybe he'll get another shot. You never know what happens. Usually takes more than one quarterback to survive an NFL season. But it didn't take long. I'm glad he was able to find some work. Remember when he was a third draft pick overall in 2014? It was actually a surprise by the Jaguars then. What a difference. What a difference 5.5 years can make. All right, so coming up, Dave Gettleman, methinks he doth protesteth too much. The general manager of the New York Giants. Man, he is going to die. You know how Rob Manfred's going to die on the pace of play hill for Major League Baseball? Dave Gettleman, he does not care what you think of him, but he's dying on the Eli Manning Hill. From now until Eli's 50. I applaud the man for not backing down. And I hope he's right about Eli. I hope his support of Eli is completely validated in 2019. I don't think all Giants fans agree with me. Sometimes I feel as though Giants fans would prefer to see Eli crash and burn badly just because they want it to be the end, down in a blaze of glory, or just a blaze. So we'll do a little more football coming up. Ryan Fitzpatrick got introduced. I think he needs to sign with the Patriots next so he can play for all four AFC East teams. He is a good interview. I'll give him that. And, of course, we've got the old Fitzmagic. So we'll do a little QB news coming up. Just, I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I heard this stat where since Tom Brady took over as the starting quarterback for the Patriots in 2001, every other AFC East team has used at least 14 quarterbacks. At least. If I'm not mistaken, the Dolphins have used 17 and the Bills have used 17. I think the Jets have used 14.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, the gift that keeps on giving. He takes over as the starter for the Miami Dolphins. We think. We're not really sure. The Dolphins are diving deep on a rebuild, and at some point they will draft their next franchise QB. However, it may not happen in 2019, and they may be waiting until 2020. But Fitzpatrick to the rescue. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He was introduced by the Miami Dolphins on Monday, and it's cool. I mean, he's turning into the Vinny Testaverde of this era, a guy that just continues to find a job, find a home in the NFL, really loves the AFC East. So why play for Miami? He was asked.
I think first, just the opportunity to get on the field and play. It's something, you know, I love this game. I love being out there with the guys. And so that opportunity was one that piqued my interest. And, you know, I'm familiar with the AFC East. I've played a bunch of games. love what they did to the stadium here. But I'm just excited to get to work with the guys and, you know, see what we can come up with this year.
So Brian Flores, the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins, goes with a guy who's familiar to him as well. And it's a 2-year deal. He could make up to $17 to $20 million based on incentives, but the base contract is the $11 million. Fitzpatrick will play for his third AFC East team. And when last we saw him in the AFC East, it was the first year with the Jets. He got the Jets within a quarter of the postseason. Remember, it was a 10-win season under Todd Bowles, and oh, so much has changed now with the Jets, where the Jets have not just a new quarterback or two since then, but they've also got a new head coach now with Adam Gase. Ryan Fitzpatrick will certainly get strong coaching in Miami. The staff that Brian Flores has put together, they appear as though they're going to give him time to establish his system and to be part of what is a rebuild. So Fitzpatrick is talking about the Miami offense, even though we don't actually know what the Miami offense is going to look like. But you can be sure it's going to feature some explosiveness and craziness when he is the one who's pulling the trigger with the football.
I've been a fan from afar for a little bit now, but explosiveness. I mean, the run after the catch, I think, is what jumps out at you. But as we get going here, we're all going to be swimming a little bit in a new offense and trying to get familiar with that and get familiar with each other. But, you know, I've been able to work with a lot of different guys in my career on different teams and different systems. So I think we'll do a nice job of working together and getting on the same page early.
He's a true professional. The guy's steady. I'm not saying that he's going to go out there and give you 400 yards passing every game. In fact, if he gives you 400 yards passing one game and 4 interceptions the next game, it's perfectly within his skill set. But he is a professional, and he's steady, and he's ready. And if you catch him in a stretch where he is being smart with the football, where he's being accurate, and where he's on the same page with his receivers, well, you can win a couple of games. So this is not a tanking situation, because there's no way they tell Ryan Fitzpatrick to get out there and stink. I mean, that's not what he does. So just it's a stopgap for the Dolphins until they find their next young QB. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, and Fitzpatrick speaking to Dolphins.com. I don't know if the Giants are willing to take a page out of the Dolphins book. However, General Manager Dave Gettleman, who just pulled off the big trade with Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns, is continuing to answer questions about Eli Manning as the quarterback in New York.
Business as usual. We're really pleased with the way, you know, Eli handled last year, with the way we finished the season. When I looked at it at the end of the year, you know, the way we finished scoring points and moving the ball, and you know, I was really very pleased with all that. And the guy can still make the NFL throws.
So Dave Gettleman was a guest on WFAN, our New York City affiliate. He did not actually give any details about where the team is headed. So if he has a plan after the Giants have missed the postseason in 6 of the last 7 years, he's keeping his cards very close to the vest. But this was his response. Trust me, we have a plan. And over time, you have to be patient. Everyone wants answers now. We live in an instant gratification society, instant gratification world. Over time, you'll see it. You have to trust it. But let's be honest. Eli Manning is closer to 40 than he is to 30. And even if he can still make all the throws that an NFL player can make, the Giants have got to find the next guy. Now, that is part of the plan, at least, according to Gettleman.
There's some quarterbacks in this year's draft. You know, it's really funny. I made the statement, you know, I really like the Kansas City model. Well, for years, it was everybody's model. Aaron Rodgers sat for, 2.5, 3 years. You know, so, I mean, obviously the ideal situation is you bring a young kid in and let him learn from the old pro.
It just depends on whether or not the old pro is interested in teaching the next big thing. Now, the final four games of the season, when they, well, I guess they were still clinging to playoff hopes. They averaged, actually, 25.5 points per game. And Eli threw the majority of his touchdown passes in the second half of the year. A major piece of that was the offensive line settling into a rhythm. So the O-line played a lot better in the second half of the season. This is not all Eli Manning's fault. As much as I joke about it, because Gettleman is and Shermer, Pat Shermer, are so tenacious in their support of Eli. In fact, one of the lines that Gettleman threw out on Monday, the narrative that Eli is overpaid and can't play is a crock. When was the last time you heard crock and it wasn't associated with a pot? So, they are willing to plant their flag on the hill of Eli Manning and they don't want anyone to know what's happening, maybe because they aren't sure when and where they're going to find that franchise quarterback. However, the O-line is a major piece of this. It really is. So was Odell Beckham Jr. and his constant water breaks and taking himself out of the offense the last few games of the year. I mean, interesting that it coincides with the point totals going up at the end of the season. There was major friction there, major issues there. But Gettleman says they weren't actually trying to trade Odell Beckham Jr.
It was a football business decision. You know, I got the proverbial offer I couldn't refuse. It happened fast. And, Cleveland contacted us. And I couldn't turn the offer down.
A first-round pick, a third-round pick, and starting safety Jabril Peppers. Is that an offer you can't refuse? This is a legit question. The first round pick coming, what, 19th? It's number 17. It's number 17. They already have number 6. If they want to move up and grab a quarterback, though, the rumor has been that Dwayne Haskins doesn't fit their system. He's not the type of quarterback. These are not the quarterbacks you're looking for. These are not the droids you're looking for. If they're not going to draft Haskins, then you wouldn't think that they would need to move up in the first round. Again, I'm taking Kyler Murray out of the equation because it appears as though he's going to be drafted by the Cardinals. So if they're not going after Haskins, they wouldn't need to move up, which means they could use those first round picks for either reaching for a quarterback when they don't need to or shoring up the offensive defensive lines. Yeah, going back to OBJ, he did not play the last four games of the year, right? So his last game in which he appeared was December 2nd. And according to rumor and speculation, conjecture to be sure, but Boomer Esiason, who jumped in our studio last week to talk about the OBJ trade, he says he has it on good sources that Beckham could have played and just didn't want to. He didn't want to be out there, and so his injury wasn't as serious as what it may have appeared. It wasn't something that should have ended his season. He just didn't want to play with Eli anymore. So I have no issue with them trading him, but to tell me it's an offer you can't refuse, a first and a third, I don't know. Huh. Compared to Antonio Brown, who got a third and a fifth, well, sure, it's a much better offer. But I don't know that they weren't happy to have OBJ taken off their hands. He was gone the last four games of the year, and the scoring for the Giants drastically increased. It's addition by subtraction. We'll see how it works in Cleveland. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Got a bunch of calls that you want to weigh in as well. So 855-212-4227. What's the method to your madness when you fill out one of your brackets or two of your brackets or three of your brackets? That's our Twizzler Tuesday question. So A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now shifts to the left hip in the shotgun formation of quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. Takes the snap and looks upfield. Good protection. Fitzpatrick throws a deep ball. Downfield toward Mike Evans. Evans at the 30. Takes it in to the 20, 10, 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Ryan Fitzpatrick and that Fitzmagic thing going. This is a ball game now with 9:57 to go. How about that?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Gene Deckerhoff. Unmistakable voice. I miss football. I was thinking about this on Monday night. It's crazy, basketball. And basketball is a sport that I know inside and out because I've played it, I coached it, I've reffed it, officiated it, I guess. So I've been part of all facets, and now I broadcast basketball games. So I've been involved in all facets of basketball. So it's second nature to me. However, my sports world is not complete when we're away from football season. And I know many of you are really enjoying the AAF. Because of everything else that's happening in basketball and NBA and NHL soon, plus as we talked about the Masters, the NFL draft is not that far behind. There isn't a whole lot of space and time to be able to follow the AAF as religiously as a lot of you are. But I did, of course, hear the news that Johnny Manziel has signed to play for Coach Singletary with the Memphis Express. You want to talk about an odd couple in sports. Mike Singletary and Johnny Manziel. Could you have two athletes, personalities, generations who are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum more than those two? I don't think so. Maybe it'll take Coach Singletary to whip Johnny Manziel into shape. I mean, after all, he did get kicked out of Canada. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com in 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Speaking of Geico, I just got my bill. So I use Geico for my car insurance, and I pay every 6 months, and the bill just popped up in my mailbox on Tuesday. We're asking you this question, Twizzler Tuesday. What is your method, your mode, modus operandi for filling out your brackets? Because it's that time of the year again. Let's see, just got this tweet. When in doubt, typically go with the team who has better guard play. If it's even, go with the coach who has skins on the wall. If that's even, go with the team who had the toughest game previously. All right, that's quite a method. And then Nathan gives me a list. Number one, strong gut feeling. Number two, tourney pedigree. Number three, record versus common opponents and or top matchups. Number four, team stats. He says, I don't watch much basketball, but I do fill out a bracket every year. I tend to beat my diehard college basketball friends and rank highly overall. Well, that's impressive. Thank you for sharing that method. I may try it. I'm always looking for something new. 855-212-4227. Dan is in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy.
I mean, if it's your afternoon, that's fine with me.
Yeah, well, it is kind of my afternoon. I just got home from work. But I've enjoyed listening to you for this last week and a half, and it's just, like, been so enjoyable.
Thank you, sir.
But I have a certain – there's one thing I got to say. If you're not a conference champion or a tournament champion – you're a fraud. I look at the Midwest region with the three blue bloods in there, and it's like they're all frauds. I'm going to take Houston in that bracket in the Midwest.
Okay.
Houston is the best team in that bracket, flat out.
Okay.
And the other ones, I could go with Virginia. I could go with Duke. I could go with Gonzaga. But, you know, if you didn't win your conference and you didn't win your conference tournament, I can't even
Gonzaga did win the conference regular season. They lost in the conference championship game, but they are the champions of the WCC in the regular season.
So is Virginia.
Right.
And
so
Duke, conference tournament champion.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. Only one team can win that, obviously, and the having three teams from the ACC would mean, of course, that you've got at least one who's left out in the cold in your formula. I don't think it's fair to say that about every conference, though, because it's obvious that the ACC is top heavy and that there are teams there that could easily win the title despite not having won the ACC.
Well, it's the Midwest a total joke. That bracket was set up for the Blue Bloods, period. That's it. It was set up for the Blue Bloods.
Okay.
Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky. And they're all frauds this year. They're all frauds.
Okay.
Michigan beat North Carolina by 17. Mm-hmm. And you have them as a number one?
That's a joke. It's not a head-to-head. I mean, these teams play 30-something games. You can't possibly make it all about head-to-head.
Michigan State beat Michigan three times.
Yeah.
Three times.
And?
That's what I'm saying. Michigan State deserved a higher seed in the Midwest bracket than North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas. That's a total joke.
Michigan State is a two, and they leapfrog Kentucky. They're a higher number two seed than Kentucky is.
The number one overall seed in the tournament.
Is Duke.
Yes.
Yes.
The number one overall. And how did that happen? It's a total joke how they set up the bracket.
How did that happen? Did you not watch Duke play with Zion Williamson this year?
No. I'm saying, why would you put Michigan State against Duke?
Yeah, it's about geography. It's complicated, so they're not against Duke. They're in the same bracket, but you don't know if they're going to play. I mean, that's sleepfrog in a bunch of games. But it's about geography. Every team picks its preferred geographical location before the season ever starts. And so, yes, Duke is the overall number one seed, and Michigan State ends up in that same region. However, they got closer to their preferred location than did Kentucky. It's complicated, but it's about geography. Once you get past the ones, and they rank the top 16 teams, 1 through 16, then it's about your choices and where you get to play. And that's why they ended up in the East bracket.
No, but they only get two games in their desired.
Yeah, but it's better than none. It's better than going all the way across the country. It's better than being in a place where you're likely to have more fans for the other team.
I've seen that before, too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's very complicated.
This year is a total joke
in
how they arranged everything.
So then you won't be doing a bracket.
No, I've done brackets.
Of course, yes. Gotcha. All right, Dan, I got to let you go because we have other people on the phone, but thank you so much. As long as you're still filling out a bracket, I guess it's not too much of a fraud. Antoine is listening in Detroit. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy. I'm not too much of a college basketball fan. I do watch it around March Madness. So when it comes to filling out my bracket, normally it's the eeny, meeny, miny, mo for me or the teams that I'm familiar with.
I like it.
I actually called tonight to ask about football. My Detroit Lions have been making a lot of moves on the defensive side of the ball. I'm an avid listener of your show, so I hear you guys like to call them the Midwest Patriots sometimes. With Aaron Rodgers having the setbacks he had last year, with Kirk Cousins not fully becoming what they expected him to be in Minnesota, and the Bears, I kind of said the Bears were good this year, but I kind of feel like their great defense covered up a lot of the mistakes Mitchell Trubisky made. I just want to know your opinion, how you felt if the Lions continue to make positive moves in the directions of building the defense, and they do kind of take the Patriot way. Could you see them making the playoffs or even going further this year with the little additions they had? Because I really think the thing that people undermine is the Jesse James pickup. Out of all the free agent moves we made, in the past few years, we haven't had a consistent tight end that could catch balls and block in the run game. So I think that's going to be a huge addition to our team.
Yeah, I mean, I think my favorite is still going to be the Trey Flowers, as long as he lives up to the money. But he was a major piece of the Patriots winning the title this year, winning the Super Bowl. So I like the moves that they've made. And I think the defensive side of the ball on paper is a lot more impressive. I will continue to say about the offense, until they have a consistent run game, I don't believe that it's going to be that much better. I mean, yes, they could throw a few more passes, they could gain a few more yards, but they've got to have a run game that's consistent. It's been the major glaring weakness of that offense for years and years. So that to me is something that I'm continuing to look for. But I do believe that Matt Patricia has made some good moves and that they're turning things around. It takes some time, obviously, to establish a system, and I like it. I think that they made a big splash, and then they brought in a bunch of professionals and veterans and guys who can help them. It's just a matter of everybody getting on the same page.
Also, you didn't. I heard you mention the running game. So you didn't particularly, I wouldn't say particularly care, but did you, don't see any flashes in the rookie? Well, he's not a rookie now, but Kerryon Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, he had flashes, but it's still not consistent. It needs to be something. I mean, I prefer to have a team that's got major balance between the passing attack and the ground attack. So averaging 100 yards per game, if you can get it to that point. I mean, look at the playoff teams, and they all had a consistent run game, even if it wasn't just one guy. Antoine, thanks so much for your call. I have to let you go. I mean, it's been a glaring weakness and a glaring a missing piece for the Lions for so many years. So if Johnson can be consistent, well, more power to him, to be sure. And that will definitely help Matt Stafford and the passing attack. We're halfway through. It's a Twizzler Tuesday. You can find us after hours, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.